Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Come on. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I'm the host of It's Everything West Texas. And as we've mentioned earlier, we are kind of venturing into a little different space, and that is the political space. We are not endorsing any candidate, but we think that it is very important that you listen to the candidates, that you go and vote, and you know that you make up your mind based on the information that you've heard. So today we have one more of the candidates in the studio, and we have today Miguel
Espinoza.
Okay, so Miguel, we are happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you said before we got started that you're not a political guy, but you're in a political race. I mean, how did you find yourself here?
Yeah. So, you know, I just come from a very hardworking family. We love hard work and education. And so this was never something that was discussed at the dinner table. So this is all, like you said, all very new to me. But you know, I'm a CPA, so I got, you know, my accounting career kind of started, and the firm that I started working with, they always encourage new staff to get involved with a nonprofit of some sorts. And so as a CPA, that's normally in the role of treasurer. And so that's whenever I joined the board. I'm a founding board member of All Kind Animal Initiative. And, we didn't envision the private-public partnership that initially, that's where we are today, but when we initially formed the organization. But as we kind of progressed, it was a very, very fast progression. Very blessed to be a part of it. Being a part of those contract negotiations with the city, I started looking into, you know, city financials, what their budget was for animal services, and really breaking that down for the All Kind to take over that animal services budget. And so that was my really first look into the city. And I've always had people encourage me, man, you'd be great for city council. I was like, guys, I don't even know what city council is. So over time, it's kind of worn on me that, hey, I need to think about this, consider doing this. And finally, I just kind of got to the point where I was like, you know, city council, they affect our day-to-day lives. And in 50 years, looking down the road, if I'm having a conversation with my grandkids, what I want to have that in my back pocket, that's my example of, hey, I stood up in my community and I led. And I'm young, I'm full of energy. And I was like, you know, why wait? You know, if you're going to do something, do it. And I was like, okay, it's time to pull the trigger and do this.
All right. Okay. So this All Kind Animal Initiative, talk to me a little bit about that. What's that all about? And I can tell you're pretty passionate about it.
Oh, yes. Great new organization. So we were formed a couple years ago. I'm now the president of the board of directors, so I'm proud to still be a part of them. Our initial mission was spay and neuter education, and to start, you know, pushing that forth into the community. And we started talking to the city, and they were like, you know, we really need a new animal shelter. And so there was kind of some old plans about doing this in the past to, you know, rebuild a new animal shelter, because the one that was initially built, over 50 years old, terrible condition. The animals are super, super stressed in that environment. And so pretty much we came on to do a capital campaign, build a new animal shelter, and to start really fundraising on top of that animal services budget so that we could provide a higher quality of care for the animals. And so that's kind of where we are now, and we're really pushing. We've had a ton of success. We have now 2 full months of no-kill status, so we're very proud of that. And we're hoping to continue that and push forward is education and spay and neuter into the community.
Okay. Are you an animal owner? Do you own any animals?
Yes, I do. I own a beagle.
Oh, okay. 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 So does this tie in with the new dog park, or is that...
Oh, that is separate. That's a separate city project. So we're not the dog park. Oh. They are in our backyard, so to speak. Camp Barkley's right. Same address as the park, but it's just back behind us. But that is not associated with Alkine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a project that's getting quite a bit of talk around town. Some
yes.
people think that the dollars are a little heavy, a little fancy, a little too fancy. Do you have any thoughts on that one way or the other? Or just...
Yeah, I know with public projects, you know, there's not a return on investment for these types of things. It's really having a place in your city that is beautiful and useful to your city. And that location is awesome. It's right on that trail for people to kind of use. And then it kind of ties in with the park that's currently there. I know people aren't too happy about it. I don't know too much about the details of the cost breakdown, but we are in a super high inflationary environment. So the high price tag on construction doesn't surprise me. And I don't blame people for being a little bit upset on that. But I don't know the details to critique.
Oh, okay.
The numbers too much there.
All right. What do you feel like maybe is one of the greatest challenges facing our city right now?
So I just my mindset, I look at it as opportunity.
Oh, okay.
And right now, don't get me wrong, we're behind on some infrastructure pieces like streets. Mm-hmm. But with these companies that are coming in, like Lancium, Natura's building up, doing a lot of new partnerships with like Lubbock, for example. What I'm hoping is that we can attract that new investment into our city. And a lot of it is just us getting up to date with our streets, making sure that these companies do have the utilities that they need, and just make Abilene an attractive place for investment. And I think in the next 10 years or so, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for investments. And so if we can catch Abilene up and prepare Abilene for investment, we can really attract a lot of those new developments. And I think DCOA will do a good job of hopefully securing those.
Oh, okay. So following along with that, you know, I mean, they say it takes money to make money. And of course, you just mentioned DCOA, which is those dollars that go in that direction or, you know, come from the sales tax.
Right.
So it is, it's, you know, it's tax money, basically.
Yeah.
So sometimes people see the... they said, well, you know, my tax dollars shouldn't be spent that way. How do you talk with a person about that from the standpoint of that it may be a benefit if you think that it is?
Yeah. So anytime you think about investment, there always has to be an initial cost. You know, thinking about down payment, for example, with the city sales tax, we're in a competition with all the other cities around us. We can't think of Abilene in a kind of siloed, you know, picture. We're in a race with all these other cities for this investment. And so DCOA gives us a big competitive advantage. And so whenever we do have, you know, incentives that we can offer these companies to come here, it gives us that big advantage to get that investment that when they do, you know, pour a couple million dollars into Abilene, we get to recognize that improvement. They bring in, you know, new higher paying jobs. These people, they need construction for homes. They need goods and services. And so a lot of that drives a lot of economic activity that, yeah, is that seen immediately? No, it's not. But when you think about that 10, 20 years down the road, all that does is compound. And hopefully they stay here, raise their families here, and you just keep getting that kind of trickle compounding effect, and we get a massive benefit, but it's not initial. And so you do have to be patient. I do understand, you know, a little bit of, whoa, you know, what are we doing? You know, but that growth, it is recognized over time.
Okay. So then, so maybe it's, maybe it's not so much about me or you, but maybe it's that generation that's, maybe it's your grandkids that you were talking about. Your children. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So if you could do something about the city on day one, is there any particular thing that you would pick up the mantle and really get about business on?
Oh, yeah. I do have some more big picture ideas, but just from I don't think there is an immediate answer for it, but homelessness, I would like for us to really put forth a coordinated effort with our nonprofits. I know we have a lot of nonprofits that are attacking this issue. If we could coordinate with them to hopefully address that issue and make sure that, because it's someone's right to be homeless. And so we cannot completely eliminate homelessness, but as if we could target, okay, these are the people who they're trying to get back on their feet, and we can really help them get into a better situation. And I know the current council, they've had a good discussion about this here recently, and I hope something does come out of that. And if nothing does, I would like to be a part of something.
Okay, so I think I heard you kind of say homeless is in maybe two categories. You got people that maybe for whatever reason, that's just where they are, and that's where they want to be. And then you've got the other group that maybe just fell on hard times, and that's where they are. So How do you address the person that just wants to be homeless?
Yeah, because that person, they're putting a strain on our police force, because it's my current understanding that what is happening is that they have about 10 or 12 places that they kind of frequent, and APD is kind of pushing them to one spot, then the next, and they're just kind of rotating around. And you know, it's not that they're doing anything wrong. They're just kind of, you know, loitering in the space, and APD is having to use their manpower, their resources to go and kind of help, you know, push them along through there. I'm not sure what in Abilene is kind of, you know, making them, you know, kind of use our spaces if there's not an attractive space. But it's tough because it's if they want to be homeless, what resources can you offer them to, you know, be in a different space? I don't know if another community has done like a more of like a rec space to kind of centralize them in an area where, okay, we know that they're safe, they're not causing trouble. I'm not sure if that's been explored or if our current nonprofits have a space like that and it's just at full capacity. But a lot of that is just working with the nonprofits. They have that specialized knowledge. What do you know? What is going on? And how can we coordinate to kind of get them from kind of loitering in those same spaces?
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. You know, citizens, not only in Abilene, but in most places, when they look at city government or almost any type government, if they are on the outside, sometimes it's really this idea of, hey, we are here. Those people at City Hall or those people in state government, and it's kind of a tension there to maybe to some degree. So how would you address that? How could the citizens become more involved?
Yeah, what's tough about it is it's really a two-way street. And you can always get yourself to the table, but unless that other party kind of comes and is willing to sit down with you, it makes discussion tough. What helps with that, in my opinion, is really doing a good faith effort to really make yourself available. And I was having a conversation with a citizen the other day, and she reached out to me, and I think that's the, you know, the ideal situation that you have a concerned citizen, they're upset with something and they reach out to you and you're able to address whatever their concerns are or help facilitate a solution there. Ideally you would love for that to take place, but I know that doesn't happen all the time. Having as many outlets that you can to field questions, to make sure that, hey, you know, your councilman is available, you know, maybe doing, you know, a kind of a public forum for you to, you know, field questions, attending events, being a part of various organizations, I think helps you as a councilman be available kind of just in the general public. And just really making sure that you communicate to people constantly, like, hey, if you have concerns, please let me know. And also asking questions to your community members, like, hey, you know, you're in a specialized field. What do you think about this? The city's thinking about this. You know, would you be willing to attend a city council meeting or a city board meeting or whatever it is? Inviting people to further discussion is always going to be productive and help facilitate that relationship.
Okay. One of the things that we hear sometimes is that, well, city council meetings are in the morning where most people are getting up and going to work or whatever. So what about changing it to the afternoon, or at least having some meetings after 5? What would be your thoughts on that?
That's something I would be open to. I mean, I think more discussion is good, and the more communication that we can facilitate, if we do see a jump in attendance, maybe you test it out. Maybe you say, look, we're going to have this month's meetings in the afternoon, and you see a lot more participation. And I'd for sure encourage and like to support.
Okay. So how do you think you are uniquely qualified? I know that you're running, and you believe that seat should go to you. What makes you a little more qualified from your perspective?
Oh yeah, I would put I'm a licensed CPA, so professionally I do believe I see things in a different way, just kind of naturally. I think I can confidently say as an expert, nobody can break down a budget like me that is running for council or is currently on council. They don't have a CPA or kind of finance guy on the current city council. And so I think that's where my skill set really, really comes in. And so whenever they're analyzing decisions and breaking things down, there's that finance component. How does this fit into the current budget? What does this change? I see all of those things naturally, and knowing government accounting, that for accountants, that is a very specialized field. It's very confusing and kind of complicated for even accountants. So I can only imagine not having that accounting background, and you're looking at those financials, looking at those, you know, numbers, and trying to track where the money's going and what's going on there. I think my skill set is kind of tailor-made for a council person.
Oh, okay. So you can break it down, huh? Okay. What about another area we want to talk about a little bit is, you know, just in running for office, you've got a couple of opponents, and they've probably got the same idea like you. They want to win this thing. So we're not asking necessarily for a glowing endorsement. They're probably not going to get that.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you could say from a positive standpoint, maybe about the people that's in the race with you?
Oh yeah, I know they want what's best for Abilene. They're running because they care. They really want Abilene to do well, and that's one thing that I've been very upfront about with people. I will never talk bad about anybody, any of my opponents or anybody. That's not my character. That's not what I'm about. I really truly believe that I'm the most qualified candidate, and I'm just running on my resume and my ideas and my vision for growth in Abilene.
Okay, so you are a fresh person. You've got all of these grandiose ideas and things that you believe that you can do. Once you, if you are elected to the seat, there are going to be issues that's going to come up that's going to be in front of you. And you're going to have passionate people on both sides. You're going to have sincere people on both sides. But yes, a lot of times, you know, you have to make a choice.
So, yes, sir. Yes.
So somebody's going to probably always be a little unhappy about mm-hmm. something. So how do you address that person that didn't get what they want? How do you make them know that at least you thought about what they said? They were just not blowed off, if you will.
Oh, no, I completely understand that. I think having those individual one-on-ones, for sure. And I think as a council person, you also, when you're sitting in that chair, you do owe the public an explanation for why you vote yes. The passive of you know, voting, that's not something that I would want to do as a sitting council person. If I'm going to vote on something, I want to give a reason why. And because I want to be able to be held accountable, that I made this decision for these reasons, and that a citizen could say, look, I, you know, maybe disagree with his reasoning or his decision, but at least he can support his decision and stand firm on it. And I think when you do something and you have, you know, a logic and financial basis for your decision, I think that'll, somebody may disagree with you on the decision that was made, but at least they can follow your logic and reasoning for why you made that choice.
Oh, okay. Well, the city council is looking for a new city manager mm-hmm. now. So what do you think they should really be looking for?
So the city manager is really your CEO. So you're looking for a very, you know, strong, very strong leader. So it's not only somebody who's capable, but also can recognize capable people and can build a team, very strong leadership, and knows the budget, you know, has a sort of business sense for a lot of these deals. Cause you look at a lot of the successes in Abilene, that Robert Hanna has had, a lot of them business oriented decisions. And so them being able to facilitate that and, break things down from a financial standpoint and have strong leadership qualities, that's all going to be very helpful in a city manager.
Oh, okay. So, if you could have dinner with any person from the past or somebody that is still with us now, who would that person be and why?
Yes, it would probably be Warren Buffett. He's somebody that when I was in school, I listened to every YouTube clip I could find of him. He's a very savvy investor. For somebody who's not familiar with Warren Buffett, he's a Berkshire Hathaway man, very close with Charlie Munger. His humility and passion for what he does on the day-to-day and the way that he was honest with people and always communicated his thinking behind things. That's what something I really loved about him is he had a way of breaking down really, really complex business, just prospects, decisions, things that were happening in the economy. He could take those complex things and break them down into really, really simple bite-sized pieces for kind of anybody could digest and learn about. And I just love the way that he was just honest, humble, didn't live an extravagant lifestyle, but he was massively successful and really loved helping people. I really, really love that. I love somebody who is successful, but also has that giving spirit. I think that's very big in Abilene. You see a lot of people that do very well, and they invest back in their community. And I really, really love that.
Oh, okay. Mr. Warren Buffett.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So my father, he was born in Mexico. And so he came to the United States when he was about 4 years old. My mom, she was born and raised in Abilene. They had three sons. So I'm the youngest of three. Mm-hmm. I went to Wiley Elementary School for a little bit. Then we went to Abilene Christian Schools. My mom, she has 3 degrees, all from ACU.
Wow.
But all my brothers, all ACU, attendees. My dad works at ACU. We're very, we've been around Abilene for a very long time.
All right. Yeah. As we begin to wrap this up, is there anything that you would like to say to the public that may be listening to this?
Something I just want to emphasize is, I'm not a political person. I'm just a businessman. I really love the business aspects that I think are, integrated into council. And I would love to use my skills to benefit the city of Abilene. I think, my skill set will work really well. And I just hope to serve my city well.
Oh, okay. Well, Miguel, we are happy to have you here today, and we appreciate you taking out some time. I know this is a very busy season. I know this is a very busy season for you on the campaign trail. We just pray that you are safe.
Thank you.
Stay safe out there.
Thank you.
And again, we would encourage all people to go to the polls and vote their choice, whoever that choice may be.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I think that's it.
Yes, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.